Galatians chapter 5, please, verse 6. Right before we stand, I do need to mention a couple of things that I forgot, which is pretty common. It's easy to forget certain things. Peterson. Good to see my buddy Peterson here this morning. He is in a, like, a, what kind of boarding home right now? Not a boarding home, boarding school, excuse me. And you're studying, doing well? He's doing well. Wonderful, Peterson. Happy to hear that. Also, Leticia. Welcome home, sister. We're glad you're home, and we're glad you're safe. And you brought an old guy with you, Big Mac, and one of your sons. So we're really good to see you. I trust it was a good visit with your mother. Juanita, you're really weird. Let's all stand. She's sitting over by herself, and her sweet mother's over here. It's like, what? Sorry, Juanita. You already know how bad I am, so it isn't going to offend you. Just like, come on. Here's your sweet mother, and you're over here. All right. Galatians chapter 5. This morning's entire sermon will be centered on one verse. In my money, for my money, for my thinking, it's the key verse of the entire book. I'm not going to preach all the stuff I have taught in the past, but this one verse undoes all of the false doctrines related to salvation, which are, look at me, exactly three. Legalism, pure legalism, chapter 1 and chapter 2. Now you're justified by faith alone. Legalism light. Well, yes, you're saved by grace, but after that you kind of got to keep earning God's favor. That's 3 and 4. And then at the end, 5 and 6, yeah, but Christ does change you. You don't live like you did before. The big three, by the way, legalism, legalism light, and then the opposite would be what most American Christianity has become. We're going to look at the one verse. Don't have time to talk about all of that. This is all going to lead up till next week. I wanted to preach the gospel because, by the way, friend, I never, ever assume people understand salvation. Been around too long. People that go to church their whole life, it's like, what? I still remember talking, not to this lovely young lady, 1976. The organist in the church that I went to, she was in her 70s, and I'm not sure she understood the gospel. I think she thought the gospel was a little bit of Jesus and a whole bunch more of her. Wow. Galatians 5, verse 6, please. You can read it in whatever version. It's going to say basically the same things. For in Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, or the Messiah Jesus, some people reverse it, makes no difference. Neither, and I'll talk about this because this is very interesting. It doesn't say Judaism, so do not misread the text. It says neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. That doesn't avail or help you in any way either, the opposite. But then he summarizes everything he's going to say in the book. But faith, which works, which worketh, and then it gives us the whole motivation of it all, by love. I'm going to look at this. I have entitled this a sacred summary. And this is a summary verse that will help us. Friends, if you talk to anybody about the faith, they're going to have questions. You got to have a verse or two that you can grab that summarizes all the parts. How does a person get saved? What part does works have in salvation, if any? And what motivates the Christian life? You got all three in one verse. Tells you everything about the Christian life. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this beautiful text. May this be a help to everyone here this morning. Thank you that, I mean, how much better does it get than this beautiful text? Just summarizing in a very sacred, simplistic way, the heart of the faith. Bless us now, I ask, as we look into your word in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I was pushing my cart out of Sam's Club. out, which direction? Is it that direction by the mall? I got all the junk. I was pushing my cart out. I always park. By the way, do you always try to park in the same area? I do. That way I don't have to think about it. I park in the reasonably the same area. I always park closer to Grand Avenue. So I was parked that direction, and I came out of, I'll just do it like, I'll do it looking this way. So I came out, I go out the side door over here, go out, go that direction, and my car is always over there someplace. Now, this was before my Prius. My Prius is 11 years old now, so it was before 2014. Is my car before. I went out. Do you do this? Pushing my cart, I push it across the intersection where people are driving, push it along the cars, watching for people, filling in my pockets, looking for, in those days, now I have clickers now, but in those days I had to look, I actually had a physical key that was for the car. Now I don't have a physical key for the car. I'll pretend this was the physical key. Pushing my cart, minding my own business, going to put the stuff in the car, put the cart away, and then take off. I go up to the car, and I pull the I pull my cart in, put the key in the door, turn the key, pull the handle like this. Now, you know, you don't have to. It automatically opens. I pull the handle, and it popped in nothing. Turn it again, pull it again. Don't get ahead of me. But this time I was starting to panic. You ever have those really weird moments of panic? And I thought, what in the world did I? Now, by the way, in those days, I had two Toyotas. We've always had Toyotas. I had my wife's Toyota car. I had mine. So I thought, well, maybe I got the key in the wrong slot. I mean, I got the wrong key from her car. So I looked at the key. Nope, right key. Put it back in, turned it. And by that time, I was starting to panic. Is the car broken? Then I thought, well, it's not a big deal. I can get in the other side. So I put that key back in, turned it one more time, pulled it out, didn't open. And about that time, I looked inside the car. Rhonda, you got ahead of me. This is not my car. Somebody's going to see Pastor Warren breaking into somebody's car in Sam's Club. This is not good. That's, by the way, you say to go through, that's exactly what went through my mind. It's like, somebody's going to think I'm trying to break into somebody's car. I pull that key out, as cool as I could be, push my cart around, look for my car. Can I say this? I had the wrong key for the wrong car. Make sense? By the way, it did fit in my car. Well, the text this morning that Paul gives us is, I say in the notes, is a summary. By the way, a summary means he's putting a lot of things together in a very short one line or two lines. He's summarizing, and he assumes, because he is assuming you have read chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and up to chapter 5, he's assuming that you and I know it's a summary of the book and, frankly, a summary of the gospel. In my very simple way, it's the right key for the right car. It's just that simple. Now, we have to deal with the whole text. There's five different ideas here. And honestly, the first one's the most important, because the first one's where many Christians never figure out the Old Testament and are always confused about gospel salvation. Did they have to work their way to heaven? And all of these crazy ideas. Now, friends, I don't have time to teach the theology of the Bible, though I am very capable of teaching it on this subject. But I'm just going to introduce you. So, in your notes, behind me, actually, Galatians 5:6 says this. He begins by saying this, for in Jesus Christ, meaning Jesus the Messiah, or the Messiah Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything. Well, he starts by a negation, which sometimes, in order to understand something, we have to understand what it's not. Actually, it's a teaching technique. Sometimes to understand what something is, you understand what it's not. So number one, salvation is not by circumcision. But friend, that is really not, look at me please, that's really not what the text means. If that's all you walk away, you've missed the whole point. because salvation was never by circumcision at any time. So what is he getting at? Well, it's that summary idea. He's summarizing some things. I say behind me, we must be careful here and not miss the point. Circumcision, well, let me say it this way first. Paul is not discussing the Old Testament saints, the Old Testament faith, or the Old Testament salvation. Look at me, everybody. He's not even discussing Judaism. Are you clear? He's discussing very clearly, look at me, a perversion of the Old Testament faith he calls circumcision. Don't go to the Old Testament and think people are saved by works. Really? By the way, when did you become a sinner? Adam and Eve. Has there ever been anybody born on planet Earth not a sinner? If everybody's a sinner and God is always holy and we are always sinful, people can't be saved in multiple ways because people are incapable in any age to be saved by works. He's not dealing with Judaism. We'll get to in a minute. Talking about Abraham, not that, because he actually says that's the same faith that we have, same salvation we have, Abraham had. So what is he talking about? Again, Paul is not discussing the Old Testament saints, Old Testament faith, or Old Testament salvation. He uses shorthand, circumcision, to describe a general, I think I added a word in mine, it's probably in behind you too, a general work-based religion. Because Judaism, in the first century, a lot of it had become works-based. Otherwise, works plus faith. That's not what the Old Testament is. He's not... By the way, friend, you cannot condemn God. God didn't change between the ages. Man didn't change. He's not condemning the Old Testament faith. He's condemning what it became. And it became a form of works plus faith, works religion, works-based religion. According to others, I've never counted them. There are 613 commandments in the Old Testament. I actually saw, are you all listening? A very good conservative Jewish person say he's kept all 613. And it's somebody that some of you know politically and like politically. Can I say this? I can't even remember 613. Neither can he. But it was 613 commands plus many traditions. And these, by the way, the problem with all religion of any variety, it tends to grow in ways where it becomes the opposite of what it's supposed to be. Plus many traditions, plus our attempt to keep them and save ourselves. Plus in the middle of all this, God and a little bit of grace somewhere, somehow, something. But lost in all of this religion that Paul dealt with, the thing that was lost was the core. The substitution of sacrifices all pointing to Christ. So listen, when Paul says, in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision amounts to anything or avails anything. He's not referring to the Old Testament, friend. He's talking to what that religion became for most people. And for most people, it was a little bit of God, a little bit of grace, a little bit of faith, and a whole bunch of works, a whole bunch of commandments. Listen, a whole bunch of traditions. And if you did all of those, maybe somehow, some way, you go be with God. Maybe. Does it sound like anything else you've ever heard? I'm asking you a question. The issue is not Judaism. The issue is works religion, which is what all churches tend to become. Now, this is not a personal attack. I have zero personal animosity. I've never been geared that way. Roman Catholicism is something that's, you say, when did it start? 1215 and after, 1540s for sure. By the way, most of you think much earlier, that's wrong. But let's just pretend you're in the 5th or 6th century. Here's your problem, friend. In the 5th and 6th century, there was a lot of grace. As you move forward, religions tend to lose salvation being of Christ. And they tend to move to salvation being of your good works, what the church does for you, what a church does for you. Salvation tends to become like Paul was experiencing among the Jewish people. Most of them had no clue about the Messiah, what Christ was going to do. They lost that. I'll say it again. Lost was the substitution of sacrifices all pointing forward to Christ, or in our case, us looking back on what Christ did. That gets lost. Lost was Christ, which is the Messiah. Genesis 22:8 says this, "And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb." Friends, there's so many lambs killed in the Old Testament. I counted up the daily lambs. I'm not exact. Look at me. I counted. Remember, they had to sacrifice a lamb in the morning and at night. Now, there was thousands of others, but just morning and night. If you just do the math from 1400s to the time of Christ, that was over 1 million lambs had been sacrificed. Nobody thought that a lamb saved you. As Hebrews says, it just reminded you that it wasn't yet finished. Why? Because they all point forward to Christ, what Christ is going to do, his salvation, that he's going to save you. Everything pointed forward, of course. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb." You know all of those lambs? This is the one that's going to take away the sin of the world. John 1:35, the key word is the first one. Again, he says the same thing again. "The next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, Behold, the Lamb of God." I mean, friend, this is every place you look. It's because why? Paul is saying, listen, this religion that has developed out of biblical Judaism, that was a religion according to Abraham, David, Habakkuk, and others, we'll look at a little bit later, a religion of grace, faith, and Christ, looking forward to Christ, has become something other than what God intended, just like religions do today. Hey, you ever hear somebody tell you, you cannot be saved unless you speak in tongues? I've heard it. You can't be saved unless you get baptized in our church. You see, let me say this, friend. If you look at our website, we have five solas. Sola gratia, by grace alone. Sola fide, through faith alone. Solus Christus, based on Christ alone, because of Christ alone. Sola scriptura, scripture alone, and ultimately soli Deo gloria, to God alone be the glory. Listen, religions always lose that, and things get murky. Things become circumcision. So how are you saved? By the way, Paul dealt with Jewish people, and he was Jewish. So let's not be anti. This is not about being anti-Jewish. It's the anti-religion that became, just like much of so-called Christendom. You're saved by what? Well, I have to say this. I was asking Judy, and I asked Dada something. We're going to talk about it in Sunday school in a different level. So I asked you yesterday, I think, or the day before, the Day of the Dead in the Philippines. By the way, when I go to the Philippines, my first time, it's like the Day of the who? I had no idea what we're talking about until I found out, well, the Day of the Dead makes perfect sense, because the Day of the Dead is this. You have to go out to the graves and honor your fathers. Now, I don't know where all that comes from, but you also have to help pray them out of purgatory. Thank you very much. By the way, because salvation isn't Christ. Salvation is something else. It's a little bit of Jesus and a whole lot of other stuff. Oh, by the way, no criticism, factual. I've been to one. Dada asked me, I think it was you, somebody asked me, have you actually been to one? I've been to one. A family in Tacloban in the city of Barawan, I went with the family out to the graves, and I saw it. The priest come by. By the way, don't get mad at me. These are factual things. You pay the priest some money, guess what he will do? He will help pray the person out. By the way, we're right back to works salvation. Most religions, their salvation is based on working your way to heaven. It's circumcision. It's not Judaism. It's not biblical Judaism. Or, by the way, today, Messianic Judaism. There are Messianic Jews that gather together and do something very similar to us, maybe with a few Jewish cultural things, which is fine. Why? Because the Messiah is the center. Christ is the center. Well, in this thing, the Messiah was gone. It was all me doing stuff. Me working my way to heaven. I say in behind me, the Old Testament is full of grace and faith, looking forward to the Messiah and the cross, as John repeatedly says. But I'm going to do something. Open your Bibles, Luke chapter 24, please. Luke chapter 24, it's not just John, it's every place you look. Luke chapter 24, please. By the way, friends, I go back to the lady that played the organ in the little Trinity Baptist Church in Rockville, Maryland. I'm a young guy. I'm 19 years old. I'm in college, 75, 76. I ask her, we're just talking about things, and she brings up to me that she's not sure she's good enough to go to heaven. I'm like, what have you been listening to for 50 years? Can I say this to all of you? You're not good enough to go to heaven. That's a given. Christ is the one that makes you welcome to go to heaven. He's the key, not your goodness. It's very depressing. Luke chapter 24, I want to be very clear. We could spend all day. I don't know where people make up false religions. Look at me. When Paul preached against circumcision, yes, it related to the Jews, but it wasn't the Old Testament Judaism, which was messianic, which was focused on Christ fulfilling the Old Testament. It was works-based religion. Totally different subject. Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. This is after the resurrection. Jesus is talking to two men. He says, then Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ, by the way, it's always good for you as a layperson to say Messiah, because Christ becomes a second name. Ought not the Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Chapter 24, verse 44, please. Now, this is later. He says it again, just in case you missed. By the way, the whole Old Testament, Paul cannot disagree with what God has taught and stated, but that was a religion of grace and faith, looking forward to the Messiah. And now we look back on what Christ has done. There are differences external, of course. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written where? In the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. He's saying, don't you understand? Your religion has clouded your understanding of the true Judaism. The true Judaism is Messiah-centered. Of course, the Messiah was going to come and die and give his life and be raised again from the dead. Verse 45, and this is the key, by the way, friend. There is no salvation apart from it. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it was written, and thus it behooved, it was appropriate for Christ, the Messiah, to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission or forgiveness of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning right here in Jerusalem. All right, let's go back to the John passage. Everyone look here, please. Can I say this? We could spend all morning looking at text. I do not know why people think, look at me, there were two kinds of religion. There's the Old Testament religion, and then there's a New Testament grace. No. How many times do I need to say no? The Old Testament was in the core was identical to what we have. But it looked forward and didn't understand all the details of what Christ would do. We look back. We have a lot more information of what Christ has done. But circumcision was what became of religion. And look at me, friend. Churches can be so confusing to people that they actually think, hey, they saved themselves. I know people that think, I've had people say, well, I went forward in a church. What? Not opposed to going forward in a church. I don't have a problem with an invitation. Can I say this to you? What's that got to do with being saved? Have you trusted Christ? All right, we continue. John repeatedly shows, John 8:56, Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. He's telling the Pharisees, and he saw it and was glad. 8:57, then the Jews said to him, well, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto him, and by the way, this is a heavy statement, verily, verily, truly, truly, this is the Latin veritas. This is where you get French and Latin influence in English in 1611. We would say truly, truly today, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Do you not know who I am? I existed long before Abraham because I'm the eternal God himself come to earth, the second person of the Trinity. Well, John chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two which had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, this is biblical Judaism. Are you listening? This is biblical Old Testament thinking. We have found the what? What's it say? Now, Messiah is just a Greek form. We have found the Christ. We have found the Messiah. We've been waiting. We've been looking. By the way, circumcision has nothing to do with this. The circumcision was what religion had become for many people. Religion, saving yourself. We have found the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Christos. Which is being interpreted what? You got two languages. Mashiach was Hebrew. Christos was Greek. We found the Christ. John 1:44. Philip findeth Nathanael. This is biblical Judaism. And saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. We have finally found the one we're waiting for. Circumcision points to the tendency of religion to move to faith plus works. Legalism, works-based salvation, or saving yourself. And religion quickly goes there. I've told this story before, but I need to tell it again. My pastor at home was Pastor Varble as a kid. A relative of mine, of course, because we have Varbles in our family. He was an older gentleman. He finally retired, and he actually took two other churches after that, after he retired. Another man came, and for the life of me, Jenny, you remember we visited them. Cannot remember his name for any reason this morning. Went to visit him, had great conversations with him, he and his wife. Now, this is a country church, little country church. So that meant you had to work a full-time job to even possibly survive. He had another job, and he worked at the grade school. Right down the road. He was a janitor. He got to know all the teachers. Many of them were believers. First grade teacher. I'm being specific because, see, some of you think I'm picking on Roman Catholicism. You would be 100% wrong. I am picking on what Paul is calling circumcision, how religion tends to devolve into it's not about what God does for us through his son, it's about what we do. We got to do all these things for God to save us or help us. Well, he was talking to the first grade teacher. I don't remember her name. The teacher I had in first grade only taught 1 year. After she had me, she never taught again. And you only think I'm kidding. Mrs. Kenyon was a one and done. Then there was the new teacher. I don't know what her name was. I remember her. She was, and I'm being very precise, Pentecostal holiness. Of which, in this area, I don't know if they exist. I only think there's smatterings of a true Pentecostal holiness. Because this was the old group. I can give you the symptoms. The women wore one-color dresses. You would spot them from 100 miles. They wore a dress up to here, down to the floor. Now, they weren't the dirty blue jean skirt with the dirty white tennis shoes. They were very specific. And the big thing is women never cut their hair. They wore it up in a bun. This was his comment. He says, I talked to this lady hundreds of times. This is what he said. Her Christianity was her bun. I never got anything of Christ from her. I never got anything of grace from her. I never understood her relationship with God. She had a bun, and that was all she needed. By the way, all religions tend towards back to circumcision, works-based religion. They just do. They get twisted, perverted, sadly. By the way, My wife and I, 1979, we used to have to visit the parents of the kids in the classes. Jenny, you were with me. We went and visited a family. They were Pentecostal of some variety. By the way, no criticism of Pentecostals. I'm talking specifically. Went to visit this family. Tried to ascertain. I'm trying to understand. Are you a true believer? I asked this guy every way to sideway and underneath and on top. And this is what he said. God healed me. That does not sound like the Apostle Paul talking about, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Any believer knows it's not your works. Are those, could never get to salvation from it. Never. Ever. It was everything but Christ. Everything but the Messiah. Circumcision points to the tendency of religion to move to faith plus works or legalism or works-based salvation and or saving yourself. I want to say this clearly, friend. Works religions cannot save us. Works religions accomplish nothing. Circumcision accomplishes nothing. It has no value. It does not count. It is not strong enough. It does not mean anything. It does not carry any weight. It has no force for a simple reason. It's the wrong key for the wrong car. Paul says it in Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. He's talking about that circumcision problem again, friend, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, meaning not biblical thinking. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish whose? By the way, you find people that spend a lifetime trying to think, one day I got to stand before God and I got my good stuff and my bad stuff and I want my good stuff to outweigh my bad stuff. Can I say this? I've shown it on the board before 4 or 5 years ago. You're back to the Egyptian pagan religions, except they said it the opposite. They would have the false god behind. I can show you this is all over Egyptian tombs. The false god, they have a weight and they have a feather. And if your heart, which is pulled out, weighs more than the feather, that means you're evil and you go to wherever. Friends, that's works religion. Where did it come from? Read the verse 3 again, please. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, here it is, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. My friend, the gospel, you never saved by circumcision, meaning works religion, saving yourself, helping save yourself, it doesn't work. Well, number 2. This one's weirder. This one's stranger to most of you. I hope you understand when we're finished, because we'll just spend a moment here. Galatians 5:6 takes you one more step, if you would. Galatians 5:6 says this, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. So point number 2, salvation is not by what? What is uncircumcision? Would you believe it's in Galatians? Any of you believe it's in Galatians? I'm going to point it out to you in Galatians. By the way, there's some people think, well, it's Judaism's the problem, so I'll go from being a Jew, take a breather, I'll go from being a Jew to being a Roman Catholic, or I'll go from being a Jew, I'll be a Mormon, or I'll go from being a Jew, I'll be a Muslim. You miss the whole point, because neither one of these, they're both works. Every religion on earth outside of Christianity, biblical Christianity, the way you reach God is you do certain things, and if you do enough, it doesn't make a difference what their religion. They're all works-based religions. Some people might say, Pastor, I'm good then. I am not Jewish. And you have missed the point, because it was never about being Jewish. It was about the gospel. You say, Pastor, I've never been Jewish. I've never been Roman Catholic. That doesn't help you either. Because, frankly, all religions are based on works. Circumcision is one form that was common among Paul's days. Other places, you get other kinds. Let's look at Galatians 4. By the way, get the timing of this text. Paul is writing, oh, wait, step back, everyone. Paul is not writing to Jewish people. He's writing to people in the Roman provinces of Galatia. These would be Greek-speaking non-Jews. But somewhere along the line, they'd heard the gospel, and some of them, through other people coming along. By the way, I want to say this to all of you. Ness and Tess, I love both of you, and I love your nicknames, just so you know. You're going to find everybody and their brother now wants to talk to you about Christianity. Once the person gets saved, everybody wants to come along and help you. Well, these people had come out of paganism. Then they heard the gospel, and they kind of, some of them got it, some of them didn't get it. They move forward, and then somebody come along and added circumcision. Not the act, the whole package. But Paul says, you came from the same things as you're doing right now in your pagan days. Look at Galatians 4. Howbeit, then, when, before, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. You used to worship lots of gods, but that aren't really gods. But now, and this is sad, after that you have known God, then he says, let me make it more precise, or rather are known of God. Otherwise, God actually knows you, we're hoping. You have a relationship with God. He asks this question, how turn you, key word, again? How are you going back to what you were when you were a pagan, the uncircumcision? You're going back to the weak and beggarly elements wherein you desire again to be in bondage? You're going back to a work salvation? You went from working your way to heaven, placating the gods, helping the gods be happy with you. You heard some Christianity. Now you're over here with a different form of helping, placating the gods, trying to... You're really a mess. You missed it all. Well, he goes ahead and says, read with me. He says, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements wherein you desire again to be in bondage? You observe what? What? By the way, look at me. He's not talking about Judaism necessarily. He's going back and forth. Before they became believers, there were certain days. Folks, the guy you're looking at is weird in a lot of ways. I love history. I specifically like Maya history. It's one area of, I'm not an expert, but I enjoy it. Everything they did was based on certain days. You got married on good days. You didn't get married on the bad days. They had all this stuff worked out. Look at me, friend. It's typical paganism. Circumcision and uncircumcision became the same things. Oh, now you got to get circumcised. You have to go to church on Saturday. You have to, you know, you're missing all the points. You're missing Christ. Read with me. He says you observe days and months and times and years. Now, this next phrase is old English. It's totally wrong for today. He says, I am afraid it should be for you or concerning you, not of you. We don't use that in that, but it means I'm afraid about you guys, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Look at me. Didn't you get the gospel? Why would you go from your paganism, your uncircumcision, and all of these rituals? I'm assuming all of you know all pagans, their religions are meant to placate the gods. You have gone from those works, kind of got some Christianity over here to not biblical Judaism, to the circumcision idea, this twisted, very twisted Judaism. You're right back where you started. You missed the whole thing of a relationship with God. You missed it all. I'm afraid for you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I cannot talk more about the book. That would be in the book. Number 3. Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision, meaning summary for the broken Jewish kind of religion of that day, not biblical Judaism, not Messianic Judaism that's looking forward to the Messiah are now looking back. He goes on to say, neither circumcision helps you, availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, going back to your pagan religion. But he summarizes, but faith. Faith is a summary word. Number 3, salvation is through faith. Obviously, that's how we get saved. We get saved through faith. But faith is not, again, it's a summary because one word doesn't save you. You say, do you have faith? Doesn't save you. The summary, which I put on the board behind you, friend, if you look, next slide, please. The sacred summary would be this: by grace alone, meaning what God does for us, through faith alone, meaning we simply receive what? In Christ alone. It's not talking about faith as an abstraction. It's a summary. How are we saved? Well, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That is the gospel. Simply stated, friend, God loved us, and he sent his son. And the Old Testament saints look forward to the Messiah arriving. We look back on the fact that the Messiah has died for us. The Christ has died for us. He loved us. He sent his son to die for us so that we could have eternal life. God opens our eyes. He opens our hearts. He helps us believe. He helps us trust. He helps us receive. He helps us call. And by faith and simple faith, we receive what Christ did on the cross for us. Galatians 1, verse 3. Paul begins his letter by saying this: grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. By the way, apart from what Christ did, faith isn't going to help you either. It's a summary. Faith, it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Here it is: who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. My friend, it's all there. It's all beautifully there. The gospel, Galatians 2:16, knowing, by the way, he assumes these people should know. They heard the gospel, knowing that a man or a woman is not justified by the works of the law, meaning not the Old Testament saints. No, this twisted, perverted kind of thing that became a religion, the circumcision religion. That's not how you're not justified by that. That's not how you ever find salvation. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, or in modern English, we would say faith in Jesus Christ. Even we, Paul puts himself in here, we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's circumcision. Can I say it? That's also uncircumcision. It's both. We're justified by faith. It's by the grace of God. By grace alone, God does things. He sent his son. His son died for us. He draws us. He opens our eyes. Through faith alone, in Christ alone, we are saved. Galatians 3:6, for all of you that wonder, everybody, if you have a Bible, it might be good for you to take your Bible out. I do not have time to teach this. For people that have been in this church, this should be second nature. There are those who teach the Old Testament people were saved in different ways. I'm going to disabuse you of that foolishness by the Word of God in three verses. Are you ready? Galatians 2:16, you have already seen, correct? We're justified by faith in Jesus Christ, not by the works of the law, correct? There are people who say, yeah, but the Old Testament people, no, no, no. Paul is not combating the Old Testament. He's combating what became of Judaism and became this twisted, not for everybody, but for many, perverted thing. Well, how do I know that? Galatians 3, verse 6. Thank you for asking. Even as, everybody say it, please, even as. When did Abraham live, in the New Testament or the Old Testament? Oh, so much for your theology. By the way, guess how he was saved? Exactly like us, with one difference, two differences. He looked forward, and we know a lot more. Past that, he looked, as John said, he saw my day and was glad. He looked forward, and I think it's pretty clear. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You say, okay, but then you get people that get picky. They say, well, okay, Pastor Warren, that's Abraham, but he was before the law. I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm very happy you mentioned that. Galatians 3:11. Paul says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is what? Why? Where's the quote come from? Habakkuk chapter 2. Uh-oh, so much for that false concept of the believers in the Old Testament were saved in multiple ways. Look at me. Whether it was Abraham before the law, Habakkuk during the law, us after the law age, makes no difference. You're always saved exactly the same way. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The Old Testament saints look forward, didn't know as much, didn't have the details. We look back, we can know a lot more. People are saved the same. All right, I'm going to do it. You got your Bible. It's not in the notes. Can we do something? Romans, please. Romans chapter 3. Everybody? Verse 28. Just there might be somebody out there saying, Pastor Warren, that's only one place. I'm glad you mentioned that. Now, friend, I would rather give this to you on a copy. I have this material if you're interested. By the way, this is an absolute. This is not an accident. People are saved in all ages exactly the same, with the exception of looking forward or looking back, and we know more. Romans 3:28. This is now. Paul says this in Romans 3:28. He says, if I can get to Romans 3:28, I'm in 2 Corinthians. I'm never going to find it in 2 Corinthians. I was wondering why it was the wrong verse. Romans 3:28. Everybody find it? Yes. Therefore, we conclude that a man or a woman, it's not a male there, is justified by how? By faith. Without what? Thank you for mentioning that. Romans chapter 4, verse 1, please. Now, instead of telling you, he asked you questions. He's assuming you're a smart person. He says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh hath found? Then he makes harsh statements here. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to do what? By the way, friend, look at me. There'll never be a person from Adam to the last person saved that will ever stand before God and say anything other than this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. There will be nobody going, well, Cliff over here, he needed Jesus, but I didn't need Jesus. There are none of those. The glory will all go to him. Period. Romans 4, 3. For what saith, what's that? What? Genesis 15, of course. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, he concludes, Paul, now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to every one that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Everybody look at me. Are you still with me? Now, Dada, you know this. This is part of your teaching, I'm sure. Look at me, friend. The guy you're looking at is not a fool. There's not multiple gospels and multiple salvations. Let's clear this up. You say, Pastor, that's just Abraham and us. Glad you mentioned that. Very happy. Verse 6. What's the first words? What? Even as. David. Oops. Whoops. Oops. Now we got us after the law. We got Abraham before the law. When did David live? During the law. Thank you for responding. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. What's it say? Without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. There is no difference, friend. Christy, we're going to skip ahead on the verses. If you would skip ahead all the way down to the statement under Galatians 4, 4, and 5 for time. I do not want to go past time particularly. Let me just say it this way, friend. Salvation begins here. And I put this here. This is meant to be funny. Everybody look at me. Anybody that's saved, sooner or later, this is where it starts. You got the wrong key for the wrong car. And where salvation normally starts is you know, I got a problem. I'm a sinner. What am I going to do with my sin? And we do all kinds of things. You know, and by the way, there are many religions. They do. When I was in India, I saw things. I don't even know what they meant. I saw a guy doing this with his ears. And I'm like, what in the world is that? By the way, do you know what it is? It's a ceremony to placate some god. Here's Christianity. The pastor at Moody Memorial Church, H.A. Ironside, said it this way. Every religion on earth says, do. Christianity says, done. Christ has paid it all. You better figure out if you are in the right car with the right key. And by the way, I say it up here. Salvation is Christ. He's the key and the car. You got to quit playing around. Everybody's got to come here. By the way, it's that simple. You say, you don't have to be a bad... Oh, shut up. Christ is all, friend. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The third stanza, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then be in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne, just like our father Abraham, just like David, just like Habakkuk, just like Paul. It's all the same. We're saved through faith. Salvation is through faith. He is the key. He is the car. By the way, until you realize you can't be good enough, you can't do enough, you can't repent enough, you can't repay enough, then you're at the place where you can get saved. Number four, we'll do this quickly. Galatians 5:6 says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision, we are not saved by circumcision or works religions, avails anything, nor uncircumcision, we're not saved by the opposite works religion, whatever it might be, but faith. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we're saved. But that faith works. I would say number four, salvation is through faith alone, resulting in good works. Now, friends, we don't have enough time this morning, and I apologize for that. We're going to cover this in very brief method. Behind me, you're going to see a chart. Now, I am sorry at the end of a sermon to do this, because you should do this at the beginning, but I can't, but my mind is only works a certain logical way. There are four logical possibilities when it comes to faith, works, and salvation. And look at me, only four. You need to go to the Bible and figure out which one's biblical. Just that simple. Number one, works leads to salvation. Is that taught in any place in the Bible? Absolutely not. The second possibility. Now, this is what most false, actually all false religions, Christian religions teach this. It's faith, and I'm using shorthand, plus works of some, by the way, the only difference is what works you have to do. If you go to a Seventh-day Adventist church, take a breather. I think there might be a group of them that are gospel believing, but you have to go to church on Saturday or you're not saved. Works! Are you listening? A specific work. If you don't do that, you don't go to heaven. Some places you have to go forward, take Holy Communion, do confession before that. By the way, everybody has faith and works. That has no place. By the way, that has a place in the Bible. It's that circumcision stuff Paul was talking about, mixing it all up. Third option, faith leads to salvation plus no inevitable good works. This is called logic, folks. No, you won't find this in a book. This is from the guy you're looking at. It makes perfect sense once you grasp it. By the way, there are people that teach, yep, faith alone in Christ alone. That's how you get saved. And then you just, nothing else happens. Well, by the way, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, that's just not true. There's only one biblical view. It's the next view, which is, remember, this is shorthand. Faith. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that leads to salvation. And by the way, at that point, you are as truly saved as you will ever be. But if you're saved, guess what happens? Something comes out of that salvation. Good works are at the end. You don't do good works to get saved. You don't do good works to get God's favor. You don't do good works to go to heaven. No, but you do good works because you're saved. Can I say that? That's the logic. I wish we had more time. Many years ago, I've heard John Calvin said this, but I don't know because I've never read him. But I've heard this said, and it is biblical. Faith alone saves. But the faith that saves is never alone. Paul says it's by faith that works. Once you get saved, that's going to do things. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we'll do these quickly. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By the way, no works, nothing in you, nothing you can do. It's nothing about you or nothing you can do. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ, period. But verse 10 does say, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. See, faith in Christ leads to salvation, which leads to inevitable good works. Of course, it's taught every place in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Another text, by the way, this is all over the scripture. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, we'll finish today with this. Number 5, and it's not very structured well, but that's life. We talked about this last week, so I'll just mention it this morning. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, working your way to heaven, avails anything, nor uncircumcision, a different form of pagan religion or another religion that works your way to heaven. Neither one of those do anything. It's faith, shorthand for by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, which works. It produces good works. Once you're saved, it changes you, of course. And what's it say? It works by what? What? Number 5, salvation begins with the love of God for us and ends with the love of our love for him. 1 John 4:19, where's Susan at? Susan, where are you at? Susan, everybody look at me. Susan's dad, Mr. Burfield, was one of a kind guy. Susan, you know I love your father. Mr. Burfield was on a good day average. And I saw him every week, once or twice a week, the last months of his life, he was down at the VA. I'd go see your dad. Every time I saw her dad, do you know what he said to me? Kind of that verse. He would say, I love him because he first loved me. He got it! And he was not a smart person. He understood that it was all about Christ and that Christ loved him, and of course I'm going to love Christ. Now, I don't think this is on the internet. My wife got the bride pictures. Don't tell my daughter because it'll be on the internet, unfortunately. Friday night, two crazy guys stayed at our house, Jesse and Abby. Saturday, and by the way, when they stay at our house, my wife does 99.7% of the work. They don't like me that much. You say, what do you do well? Irritate them, irritate their grandmother. But on Saturday, I sat down on the couch beside them and I said, guys, it's time to read. Evie went over. I said, what books do you guys want to read? Evie went over and he picked up my favorite, Green Eggs and Ham. And then he picked up The Cat in the Hat. And then he picked up One Fish, Two Fish, Blue Fish. Some of you know the book. We sat down and then Jesse, the monster, he's heavy. He crawls onto my lap on my left bad leg. But it's okay now. The surgery's fine. And he crawled up there, and then Evie's on this side. You say, why did you read to Evie and Jesse? Oh, I would feel guilty if I didn't. What kind of human being are you? Do you not understand I wanted to do that? Do you not understand Christianity? If it is true that I cannot save myself, I got the wrong key for the wrong car, I can't save myself, but by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, which saves me and changes me, and out of his love for me, I do many things. I don't do them because I have to. I don't do them because I feel guilty, or I feel pressured, or I feel ashamed. I do them because, Mr. Burfield, I love him because he first loved me. Can you say it? That's Christianity. It's faith, which works after the salvation by love. By the way, you're not working your way to heaven. It's because you are saved that you do this. How could you come to the love of God? Romans 5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. How do you experience the love of God and not want to do what he wants you to do. I would concede this, you probably haven't experienced it. That's the gospel. That's our sacred summary. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for this beautiful text. There's none better. Yes, I needed 2 hours. I needed to go slower. I needed to do more. But Lord, I did the best I could on this Sunday morning. And boy, we're limited. Limited for time, limited from ability, limited from 1,000 things. Father, help us on this day to grasp. It's not by any sort of religion that involves a little bit of you and a lot of us and a lot of a group and doing things or paganism. It's all about Christ and him crucified. And what God has done for us out of his amazing grace. And by our faith, our response, when you open our eyes and convict us and draw us to yourself, our response in faith or calling or receiving or believing or trusting, all of those being the same. And yes, of course, it changes us. How could it not? And of course, our motivations are different than other people. Our motivation is love, not guilt. Not fear, not shame, the love of God. We love him because he first loved us. Thank you and bless in Jesus' name. Amen.